Back on In Focus, News Radio KMAN, chatting today here with the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council, retired Lieutenant General Perry Wiggins, on the phone here this morning. We were talking about the holiday season wrapping up and folks actually maybe coming back here to Fort Riley from deployments and such. You know, one thing that's been pretty evident is we need an economic rebound in this country, and we may start to see that hopefully in 2021. But a big part of that here in our community is having the military.
Yeah, that's true. I tell people all the time that the military in the state of Kansas contributes about $9 to $10 billion a year, and in the Central Flint Hills region, which is where we're at right now. About 45% of the GDP comes from that installation called Fort Riley, and the folks that basically work there and communicate there. And I think that's something that goes unnoticed, but that's a pretty big economic engine for this area, and it's something that we keep an eye on very closely. And that comes with force structure, size of the formation. That comes with defense industry that we can connect and work with Fort Riley, and so I think that's critically important.
Yeah, speaking of all that, will there be any legislation that we'll be looking at here in the legislative session to kind of help with that?
Well, we have the NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, that was approved. It provides, of course, dollars, budget, which then correlates to a number of things. It basically works on technology, equipment procurement, and then works on force structure size and additional missions. As it stands right now, I didn't see anything in that directly impacts Fort Riley. But that being said, there's always stuff that can be allotted to Fort Riley based on a last-minute mission set or decision made by the Secretary of Defense or the Secretary of the Army.
Have you heard, I know we're going through a kind of a presidential transition right now, but have you heard any clues on who the Secretary of Defense is going to be? I don't know if I've heard that yet.
Well, I think Biden, he announced that a candidate for the Secretary of Defense, and I think that was a retired general, four-star, Lloyd Austin. Now, I think that will require him to get a waiver and require confirmation of his nomination, but that's the only thing I've heard out there. I think that was an open source in the press, but I haven't heard anything lately. There'll be a lot of changes that happen under a new administration, and with those changes will come, of course, some azimuth corrections or adjustments and some directional changes, and with that also, like I said, the budget is a huge thing, and where you apply those dollars that are in the budget, of course, will change as well.
It'll be interesting to watch how that works. What are your concerns about the military budget? I know you don't want to see cuts to that necessarily.
My big concern, to be honest with you, Brandon, is always look at force structure and size of our military, specifically the Army when it comes to Fort Riley. And my concern is we go from a 470,000 man army, let's say down to a 420,000 man army. And the only reason I use those numbers is that's when the current administration came in, we grew from 420, or we're going to 420. At that time, that was reversed, and we ended up growing from about 450 up to 470. So if we lose force structure, then I always keep a close eye on that. If we have a reduction or a drawdown in the number of troops that we have, that could have a significant impact across our nation where we have military installations.
Yeah. Well, we no doubt, and we get kind of, I think when we get so far removed from something we were talking about actually this morning, Dave and I were here we're talking about movies that came out in 2001, and we were like, 9/11 was almost 20 years ago this year, and it's mind baffling. But it kind of reminds you that we still have enemies out there that want to do harm to our country.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Now you can never lose sight of the fact that America's been a target and well before 9/11, America was a target, and I'm sure well after 2020, will continue to be a target. People don't like America in some cases because of the freedoms and the ideals and the liberties that it affords its people, and that's a shame. But that's why we have a military force that stands ready to defend our nation and its people. And so, you know, people sometimes lose sight of that. We've done it after every major conflict. We've had a drawdown, and then all of a sudden something else happens, and we ramp back up. I mean, I can't tell you how many history books I've ever read after a major conflict that some political leader says, well, that was the war to end all wars. Not necessarily the case. So we have to be prudent, we have to be mindful, and we have to maintain a strong defense because that's what protects the American people, and those are the ones that are standing on point for our nation even today.
Yeah, so always best to be proactive. Being reactive is not always always a way to go, especially with military. Again, we're speaking with retired Lieutenant General Perry Wiggins. He's the Executive Director of the Governor's Military Council. I want to also maybe just talk a little bit with you. I was talking with some of the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition the other day, and we're also talking another milestone anniversary is the 30th anniversary this year of Desert Storm. And I don't know your history, but I imagine 30 years ago, were you involved in that conflict at all?
I was. I was an Apache helicopter company commander with the 18th Airborne Corps, the 2nd and 229th Attack Helicopter Battalion. So yeah, that I didn't, you know, to be honest with you, I didn't even realize that was 30 years ago. It kind of just slipped by. But yeah, that was a absolute pivotal point for our military, specifically our Army. And I'll tell you, I wish all those veterans out there for Desert Storm the best, and want to thank them for their service.
Yeah, that was a war that really kind of, you know, I was a little boy at the time. I was six when that happened, so I don't remember a whole lot, but I remember it being on TV, and that was a pretty big deal. War wasn't necessarily always on television at that point, and I remember that's kind of maybe what transpired out of cable news here.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, we had embedded media in our formations. I had an ABC News reporter that was flew right along on some of our missions in a Blackhawk. And so, yeah, you get real-time information. You're getting real-time news from the front. It was absolutely visible. And, you know, that, of course, when General Schwarzkopf, you know, used to stand up every evening and give the update report on how the conflict was going. It was in every living room.
Wow, that's just mind-boggling. Did that ever make you nervous having a reporter with you out there? I mean, that's got to be kind of I don't know what the right terminology here is, but it's kind of a little strange.
Well, no, you know, the bottom line is he was a good guy, but you know, I think more it felt like you had to protect him, you know, so mm-hmm. you kind of over protected him in some cases, but. I think that was pretty much the norm, and now, you know, it's sort of like second nature to our leaders out there that are standing on point to have media embedded with our formations.
Wow, 30 years ago, yeah, it's quite a long time, and we definitely thank everybody who fought in that conflict, those that are still around, and we'll be honoring them probably throughout the year here with different military events, and kudos to the Flint Hills Veterans Coalition for bringing that up here earlier this week. General, is there anything else I haven't touched on you'd like to talk about here this morning?
No, I'd just like to wish everybody a new year, a happy new year. And number one, you know, tell people that, you know, your military still stands on point. Those the folks out at Fort Riley are going to be paddling hard now that they've returned back from their block leave and in the holidays. And so you'll be getting a lot more activity in the helicopter rotor noise and artillery going off and probably seeing a little bit more vehicle movement out at Fort Riley. Just, you know, we have such a such an understanding community. We really do surrounding Fort Riley that really embraces our post. And just tell people, be on the lookout and understand that training's going to pick up here over the next several months.
General Wiggins, Dave Lewis here. Taking a different slant on the interview because you've gone through all the military stuff that you got to work on, right? So now we're going to talk about the real reasons why you live in Kansas. What have you been doing with your hunting efforts here lately?
Well, I was fortunate enough to bag a very large whitetail buck, and I've done some pheasant hunting and quail hunting, and so it's gone very well this year, Dave. And, we're blessed here in Kansas to have such a bountiful wildlife here in the state, and a great opportunity to enjoy it.
Well, I want more details on the buck that you got. Bow or rifle?
It was a 12-point.
Ooh.
It was atypical. It had a palmated right side, which means all the tines or the antlers were fused together. So it was really a unique deer, very large deer, as Kansas produces here. And like I said, I was blessed just to be in the right place at the right time to harvest them.
Was that with a bow or with a rifle?
With the bow, absolutely. And my partner, Jim Champagne, got his with a bow, and it was a big deer, too, bigger than mine. And he'll tell you that.
So, I'm sure he would.
We both had a good time.
Okay. All right. Have you ever bagged an elk on the Fort Riley grounds?
I have not. That's a pretty highly coveted tag if you can get it. And I was not able to draw one there when I was here as a CG, and I haven't gotten one since I've been back.
So my question is, don't they know who you are?
Yeah. My wife tells me that every day. I'm the guy that weeds her gardens and takes care of the house. That's what my wife says.
How many tags does the Post issue on that? Or is it the Post or the Kansas Department of Wildlife and Parks?
I don't really know the exact number, but I think back when I was command general, it was about five.
Because mm-hmm. They only have a herd chaplain, of like 300 or so.
Well, they got a lot of elk. And, those elk have migrated actually off the installation now. And you see them out there in Manhattan as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thanks for helping us fill the time there with your hunting exploits. Happy to have you on here. Have a good year, sir.
Yes, sir. You too. Take care, guys.
Yep. Pleasure to have you on. That's going to wrap up our show here today. Coming up tomorrow, we are going to have a few different guests. We'll have Karen Hibbard from the Convention and Visitors Bureau. We've also got some guests from the K-State Research and Extension. And the Link Scooter people will join us, as well as the Manhattan Fire Department.
Saw a few of those hanging around on my little drive through Aggieville here over the weekend. Moving up on 10 a.m., Our American Stories comes up after CBS News. Then it's the Rush Limbaugh Show, Dan Patrick, The Game, and the Bruce Weber Show at 7.